Well, it's a real privilege to have been asked to speak this morning because today is Father's Day. Yeah. So I just really like to take an opportunity to celebrate all the men here today. So men, fathers, not fathers, young, old, grandfathers, godfathers, just men generally, would you like to stand? And I'm going to invite the women amongst us to join with me. And we're just going to reach out our hands and we're going to pray a prayer of blessing over our men. As a church family, we really value family. We're growing in those cultures of being brave, passionate, real, creating legacy and family. So we like to take every opportunity to celebrate and honour one another. So reach out your hands, ladies, and we're going to pray a prayer of blessing over these guys. So, Father, on this Father's Day, you who are our greatest, the greatest Father, we just ask that you would pour blessing over these men. Thank Father, we ask for an upgrade for them in wisdom and in strength and in favour. We ask that they would know even more so how loved they are by you, that they would walk in their God-given identity from you in every area of their life with humility and with strength.
Thank you.
And we pray this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Just while we're sitting, I just felt that we were led into a place of really deep love this morning. So Dave and the band, thank you. Mother Teresa says that where there is much love, there is much joy. And as Dave referenced, we're going to be looking this morning at Your Kingdom Come again, and then this characteristic of the kingdom, joy. So this is a new sermon series for us. And our hope over these few weeks is by exploring this phrase, Your Kingdom Come, we would actually gain a better understanding of exactly what it means. Why? Because as followers of Jesus, we believe that we have a part to play in seeing God's kingdom come. But what do we mean by God's kingdom? What does it consist of? What does it look like? It's a really familiar term to so many of us, because your kingdom come, your will be done, is found in that greatest of prayers that I would think all of us have learnt to pray over the years, the Lord's Prayer. And that's found in Matthew. And Jesus teaches this prayer to his disciples in response to them asking him, Rabbi, teacher, teach us to pray. And so those words are so familiar to us. He says to them, pray like this, pray our Father in heaven, holy be your name, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, and this is significant, isn't it, on earth as it is in heaven. And Dave Price, our lead elder here, opened up this series 2 weeks ago and preached on your kingdom come, salvation. And he began to unpack for us that as followers of Jesus, we too are to pray for this, and not just to pray for it, but to proclaim it as well. And I had to go away and look up that word proclaim. It's one that I use, but I was like, oh, okay, so what does that really mean? And the definitions I found were it means to announce, but also it says to show clearly. And I really like that. I think as we're thinking about God's kingdom and our part, our role in it of praying for it and proclaiming it, to show clearly to me speaks of us living it out. So I really like that. And Dave also explained to us that when we talk about God's kingdom, we're not talking about a geographical place that we can go and visit. No, we're talking about the superior reality of God's rule, which we've sung about this morning, his rule and his reign over the inferior one of the devil and humanity. In Matthew again, right at the beginning of his ministry, we read about Jesus. This is right after his baptism in Matthew 4. We read this. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And if we want to gain a better understanding of what God's kingdom looks like, I think we need to look no further than Jesus' ministry, the miracles that he did, his teaching and his life on earth. Because what did that look like? What do we read in the Bible? We read about the multiple miracles. We read about the fantastic teaching that awed those Jewish rabbis of the time. We read about the crowds being overjoyed. We read about salvation reigning over oppression. We read about joy reigning over despair. We read about healing reigning over sickness. So we know then, as disciples or apprentices of Jesus, as God's ambassadors here on earth, that it's our assignment and mandate as well to see these things happen, to see these things come, to live in such a way to show clearly these very characteristics and values, the power of God's kingdom today. So this morning, we're going to look at joy. Joy, joy, joy. Mother Teresa says, I think I mentioned that, didn't I? Much love, much joy. And C.S. Lewis says, joy is the serious business of heaven. So I like that. So I'm kind of like hoping that today we're going to take joy very seriously. So that is a bit of a joke. I think if I asked you to now put your hand up, if you wanted more joy in your life, hopefully every hand would go up. So I think if nothing else today, that's my hope and prayer this morning, is that we'll go away with just a better understanding of joy, and we'll actually go away more filled with joy, and a bit more kind of almost impressed by joy, because as I've been studying to do this sermon, I'm just like, oh yeah, joy. Joy comes second in that list of the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is significant. Joy is important. And so we're going to spend a little time looking at what the Bible says now about joy, what joy is, and actually what joy isn't, and why we need joy to live well as followers of Jesus, and in a way that brings clearly, that proclaims shows clearly God's kingdom. And then we're going to look at some simple practical things that we can do in response to what we hear. And I want to leave lots of time to invite God to come and minister to us this morning. So what does the Bible say about joy? Well, I love the Bible. I've really enjoyed reading, and there's so much in the Bible about joy that I'm only just going to touch on a few things this morning. But one of the key passages that we're looking at over this series is the one from Isaiah, which is up behind me. And here again, we see this clear demonstration of the superior reality of God contrasted with the inferior reality of the world that we live in and are subject to, really, that when we're here on earth, as Christians or not, followers of Jesus or not, we're subject to things like suffering and sickness, financial difficulties, relationship problems. And again, if I ask you to put your hand up this morning, there'll be numbers of us sitting here this morning that are living in those kind of realities. But here again in Isaiah, we read, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair, that they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." Yeah, what a beautiful few verses that we're going to be unpacking this week and over the coming weeks more. In Romans 14, we see a direct link between God's kingdom and joy, because Paul writes to the Romans and kind of paraphrases it, brings it into one verse, and he says, "The kingdom of heaven is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." And I like that verse finishes in the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be looking very much at that. Joy is actually mentioned 158 times in the Bible, and rejoice, which is the verb meaning to feel or have joy, 198 times, and that's not including words such as gladness or happy or jubilant. So it's a lot, isn't it? There's a lot in here about joy. One of my encouragements to us later is just to spend time reading these verses. As I did so, I just was, oh, yeah, joy, joy. It's good. The Word of God is very good. The Bible actually commands us, doesn't just suggest to us that we should be joyful, it commands us to be joyful. Paul writes to the Philippians and says, rejoice in the Lord. Always, again, I say rejoice. And in the Old Testament, we actually read about God rebuking the people of the time, the Israelites, for not serving him with joy and gladness. So it is, as I say, it's not just a suggestion that we should feel joyful. What I also noticed when I was looking in the Bible was that joy is mentioned a lot alongside suffering and in the context of trials and tribulation and hard times. So Peter, for example, is writing to the Christians that he was in relationship who were suffering great trials, and he says to them and talks to them about experiencing inexpressible and glorious joy. I just love that. What does that look like? Inexpressible and glorious joy. That looks like a lot of joy to me. Inexpressible and glorious joy. And I think one of the things on my heart for us this morning is that we would have a greater understanding and revelation of just how joyful God is, just how much joy there is in heaven. If we're thinking about that Lord's Prayer and we're praying and we're saying that we too want a part in proclaiming and praying for God's kingdom to come much more here on earth, amidst all the suffering, amidst all the sickness that we see and that we personally experience and know about, then we need, I think, to have that greater revelation of how joyful our God is, that he is a God of great joy. We have this understanding about love, I think, but not perhaps so much about joy. You know, we need that, because if we can't give away what we haven't got or what we don't really understand. There is an amazing verse in Zephaniah, and I'm just going to encourage you to actually close your eyes while I read this out. So just take a moment. Let's just, my favourite thing, let's just sailor. Let's just pause and reflect. And it says this in Zephaniah about God, our God. It says, God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. How might that sound? God shouting out your name so loudly because he so loves you. He has so much joy. He rejoices over you. Okay, so how might we define joy? It's quite important, isn't it? And I looked and and I've chosen to use the definition that John Piper uses. He's a well-known and respected theologian and well-known to many of us. And I haven't got time to really unpack all of his definition. And so I'd encourage you to look at his website if you want to find out more. It's called Desiring God. Quite easy to find. But this is the definition that John Piper uses. I would say this is a biblical definition of joy. He's a man of the Bible. And he says, Christian joy is a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ, that's Jesus, in the Word, the Bible, and in the world. And what I love about that is it says straight away two things. More than two, but it says straight away that, yes, joy is a feeling, and it's something that it's produced by the Holy Spirit. So we know this by my multiple other verses in the Bible, that it's the Holy Spirit at work in us. It's as we become saved, as we come into that place of relationship with God, and Holy Spirit's in us, working in us, that these good fruits are produced. And so, yes, joy is a feeling, It's not something that I can muster up on every, you know, situation. It's beyond me to feel joyful always, which is one of the commands of the Bible, you know, always be joyful. But actually, Holy Spirit in me has that capacity to bring to my mind the goodness of my salvation, the fact that I'm accepted, the fact that I'm loved. And this would be my testimony, that, yes, it's this ongoing minute-by-minute relationship with Jesus that causes joy to bubble up within me. It's Holy Spirit in me opening the eyes of my heart, as the definition that John Piper has given us, to the beauty of Christ, to the goodness of my good Father, to the good gifts that I'm given in my family and in my life. It's Holy Spirit in me producing. It's supernatural. Joy is supernatural, and it comes from the Holy Spirit. So being full of joy, we can see straight away, is different to feeling happy. And I think that's important for us to remember this morning, because happiness, the very word, is related to the happenings that happen to us. And therefore, when things are not going well for us, when we're you know, experiencing suffering, or those good things aren't happening, that's when it can elude us. It's very different to happiness. Kat's not here this morning. Kat's a member of our congregation. I love that she talks about joy being something that bubbles up within her. And she talks, I think, about aero bubbles. So she is someone who experiences that sensation of joy that's beyond herself. She is not in that moment particularly, you know, she's maybe desiring that feeling, but she experiences joy bubbling up in her despite the circumstances around her. And what I don't want you to do is mishear me this morning, because Jesus, who is perfect, both wept in anguish and knew sorrow. And the Bible equally commands us to mourn with those who mourn. So when we're pursuing and desiring joy, we're not being insensitive to others. When we're praying for joy, when we're proclaiming it and showing it clearly, we are recognizing that there are those those times when we have sorrow, we have mourning. And those are legitimate feelings as well. But we have this underpinning of joy, this superior reality of the kingdom that can coexist, and the Bible teaches and shows that quite clearly, alongside suffering. So why is joy important to us? Well, I said for myself, I feel blessed to know joy. But that's not always been my story. That's not always been how I've been as a person to know much joy. I was very fearful when I was younger. I had a lot of, I was a great worrier, I would say, and therefore I became kind of beset by those things that would, and quite small things at time, that would rob me of joy. Even though I knew Jesus at that time, that, you know, I hadn't walked as long with in that relationship with God, and the Holy Spirit began to work on me. And I began to sort of choose joy, remain in joy. And so my testimony, my kind of extraordinary story, is that I can stand before you today and say, yes, I know joy. I know the joy of my salvation. I know the joy of that ongoing relationship with Holy Amen. Spirit. Yeah, and that too is our, you know, something that we can step into. This is the testimony that we carry. We say we are ordinary people, and we live lives, as I've said already, that are the same as those who don't yet know Jesus. But what we have is our relationship with Jesus. It is our salvation. We do have this joy that goes beyond the now moment of life. Not just hope. Hope is really good. Peace is really good. But the reason we are told we have all three is that joy is that sense of lightness of spirit. That, you know, we had that Bible verses up earlier about the kind of garment of praise, this joy that overcomes despair. And it's available to us as we press in to God, as we remember, we allow Holy Spirit to remind us of all the goodness of God and our salvation. So joy really is our strength. It says in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's important for these reasons. It's important because it sustains us. It's important because it gives us strength in the different circumstances of life. It makes us brave. And I would encourage us, as one of our cultures, to be brave with our joy, to actually be brave in sharing our joy, because joy can almost be offensive in times. It does have that capacity to change atmospheres, but only if we allow it to kind of manifest, and we're confident in it, because it's not, as we've said, something that we are mustering up. It's not, it is the Holy Spirit's work in us, and it is our testimony. It's what makes us attractive in life. I feel like I've already been talking quite a lot, but we have time, which is really good. We have time. Thank you. So having said all that, what is our response this morning? Well, we've said already that joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so I have three suggestions for us. And like any good preacher, I try to make them all start with the same letter. So I think they might come up behind me. And here we go. So three P's. And as we go into a time of response and ministry, can I just really encourage us all to be asking, Holy Spirit, what is it that you're saying to me this morning? Because it'll be different for all of us. And it's not for me to tell you, but I'm just going to share with you some of the things I feel that God's put on my heart as I've been preparing for this morning. So what are you saying to me, Father? Holy Spirit, what are you highlighting to me this morning? I love that the Bible tells us to seek first the kingdom of God. To seek first the kingdom of God. So we are saying that we can't kind of muster up, we can't perhaps grow joy in ourselves, but we can seek first the kingdom of God. We can desire joy. And I've put up here about positioning ourselves to receive joy. And John 15 is a very well-known chapter of the Bible that talks a lot about us abiding in God's love, kind of resting, remaining. It gives a beautiful picture of God, of the vine and the branches, and us being the branches, Jesus being the vine, and how we are created to be fruitful. It's a promise. So this promise that we will be fruitful in those things of love and joy and peace and goodness. But we have a choice to position ourselves to be pruned, to be obedient to God's call on our life. There's nothing more joyful. One of the most joyful things is to be rightly placed, rightly positioned, right in the centre of God's will, is the phrase we might use. That when we're in the centre of God's will, when we're being obedient to Him, when we're, you know, whether that be kind of doing the washing up or raising our kids or in our workplace that looks like this, or retired at home, or looking after a family member who's poorly, wherever it might be. But if it's where God's called you to be right now, it's not about you working for Him, but it's being positioned where He wants you to be. Those places are where we co-labor with Him and seeing His kingdom come in multitudes of ways, big and small. It's not always about those brave acts or this or that. It's being about obedient, rightly positioned, seeking first the kingdom of God in all things. It's there that we are fruitful. It's in God's presence as well. So we can pray, is my second point for joy. It's Dave was reminding me as we talked about this morning that Bill Johnson's famous for saying it's a legal prayer. It's in the Bible. It's okay. We can do it. We can pray for joy. Let's pray for joy. We all need more joy. We can desire it. So let's be praying for joy. And we might actually need to repent of our understanding of joy as we pray for joy. We might need to recognize that we haven't actually pursued joy, that we haven't desired it as much as we could. And then practice and praise and thanksgiving. And I think I was kind of mulling on this because I know there's a lot of encouragement just generally in the world about being, you know, having an attitude of gratitude and thankfulness and all good things that we would say marry up with the Bible. And I was trying to think of how does that kind of work with joy, and is that good? And I thought, yeah, no, it is, because it's almost like as I was sort of mulling it over with God, it's almost like this good upcycling, you know, good circle. It's like as I'm recognizing God's goodness to me, the gifts that he gives, as Holy Spirit is causing that in me, producing that in me, that recognition, and I'm thankful, I'm then thinking on God, and it's in God's presence, it's as we're present with God, it's as we're walking with Holy Spirit that we will experience joy. So being thankful, practicing thankfulness, worshipping a lot has got to be good, hasn't it? So David is famous in the Bible for being a worshipper, a warrior, and many other things, King David. And he says in Psalm 16 that in God's presence is fullness of joy. You know, as we were worshipping earlier, I was just struck again that Jesus, as we sung one of those, and again, just fantastic worship, guys, this morning. It was just beautiful. As we were worshipping and we were singing about what Jesus went through, you know, and I was struck again, what Jesus went through for me. And we're told in the Bible it's that we would have fullness of life. And that looks to me like a lot of joy. Fullness of life. And, you know, he died that we would not just be saved, not just that we would go to heaven, that we would live full, joy-filled, love-filled lives now. Yeah. He's worth it. He's worth us being joyful, isn't he? He's, you know, we sing and we praise and we worship and we practice thanksgiving. And I think that positions us well to work with Holy Spirit, and he then produces joy in us. So I'm going to ask you to stand because we've got lots of time, and I really want to ask Holy Spirit to come and minister to us this morning. And I feel God gave me a couple of very clear words this morning. And the first one comes out of Psalm 30. And Psalm 30 talks about there being weeping in the night, but joy in the morning.
Amen.
I feel this is particularly for three people, and I'd love you to let me know if you really respond to this word. But it could be for more of us. And the word is this, that God would say to you this morning that joy is coming not in the morning, morning, but in the morning, in what you're mourning, in your loss, that actually he wants to bring you joy right now, in the midst of your mourning, in the midst of your loss. And this might be a big thing or a small thing. It might be a relationship. It might be a job situation that hasn't worked out. It might be financial pressure that is crippling you. It might be many things. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. He says, my joy is your strength. And there's going to be a shift. If this word is for you, I think anticipate right now Holy Spirit coming and literally moving this thing that you're mourning, this loss, into the past. Today is a new day. It is a new morning. And in the midst of your mourning, he's bringing you joy. And the joy will be the strength for you out of this. And for all of us, I just encourage just a moment of allowing God to come and minister and letting go of anything that you think might be blocking your joy. Often there are blockages in our lives, and they look like us having put something else on the throne other than Jesus. Because when we're seeking him first, when we're desiring him with all of our hearts, there is joy.
Yes, there is.
Nothing else gives us that complete and utter joy. Jesus. Jesus. And the second word I felt God really give me this morning, and this is going to be a challenge, I think, to us in some ways, but I believe he would have us come before him this morning as children again. I was struck all day on Thursday, multiple times God was speaking to me in many ways about how the kingdom of God belongs to such as these, the children. It's Father's Day today, and he is the perfect and good Father, and we're his beloved daughters and sons, and he wants to just remind you of that in this moment. He wants to pick you up again as a child, and he wants you to respond to him with joy. He wants you to be free in his presence. In the presence, there is much freedom in the presence of God. And I would actually encourage you to begin to, if you have the gift of tongues, begin to pray in tongues, because it almost bypasses all of our kind of perhaps more grown-up hang-ups. And come before your Father as a small child again this morning. He delights in you. He shouts over you. You are a beloved, accepted, chosen. If you've given your life to Jesus, you're loved. But if you haven't, do it now. Come into his presence, repent, say sorry, be a child, and he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. So Holy Spirit, we just ask, would you come and give us a fresh infilling of yourself? Would you come and fill us with joy? Fill us with much joy this morning, I pray. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Yeah, we love you, Lord. Yeah, Jesus. If there's a love song rising up in you, just sing that out. Children are not shy about what they love. Children shout out about the things that they enjoy. And we are allowed to enjoy God. We're allowed to enjoy his love. We're allowed to enjoy his presence. Oh, yaki ala mashur. So laki ala mashur. Shola ma aya mashur. Oh yeah, Father. Just press in. Don't. Yeah, it's good to wait on the Lord when we're thinking about that vine. Oh Jesus. Yeah, I just feel like I think there's another like a wave of his presence coming, and I just kind of anticipate that. Just lift up your head. There was a really good word earlier about him being lifter. I heard it being sung near me. He's the lifter of our heads. He's the lifter of our heads, and he wants to bring those garments of praise. He clothes us. He literally clothes us with joy, but allow him to clothe you. Allow him to clothe you, right from the tip of your toes right up to the top of your head. He bestows a crown on your head. Yeah. Jesus. Kola ma'ayamashu. Jesus. Ola ma'ayamashu.